لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. Today, once again, the subject is the same, a different topic, relatively small one, but quite important, quite widely practiced, and people always point fingers on it. And it is the nida, or calling, ya, as we say, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or ya Ghawsu Saqalain, ya Ghawsu Azam, or ya Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz, or ya Data, or whoever. We call ya, of course, we practice it, it's widely practiced in the Islamic society, but there are people who say that it is wrong to say ya, you shouldn't say ya, and they go as far as saying that it is shirk to say ya to someone who is not present. So we will just look at it and see if it is allowed or not allowed, and what can we derive from the Quran and Sunnah about this. And inshallah we'll also look at some of the sayings. Walaikum salam. Just on the spiritual side, we'll look at some of the amals and sayings of a saint. Right, so saying ya. Firstly, Quran itself mentions ya at so many places for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, as it is said, and we always read ya ayyuhan nabi, then ya ayyuhar rasul, then ya ayyuhal muzzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. So ya ayyuha is the same as saying ya to someone. As I say ya and then the name of the person, you're calling someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Holy Quran mentions ya. One beauty about it is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He never called him by his name. It is never mentioned Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He always gave titles to his beloved, beautiful titles, like Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, Ya Ayyuhar Rasul. Sometimes the qualities and the appearance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned in the title, like Ya Ayyuhal Muddassir or Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. So this is the adab which the Quran has portrayed in calling his Nabi. Whereas there do appear Ya Musa or Ya Isa, but Ya Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, due to the respect, utmost respect, is never mentioned. So Ya is mentioned in the Quran. Okay? So that is our first dalil, that Ya is mentioned in the Quran, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, especially for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we call Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is something which the Quran says, as already mentioned, and which the people or Muslims around the world, they pray thousands and hundreds of thousands of times each day. They say Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, Ya Ayyuhan Rasul. So that is our first dalil. And not only to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Quran calls us as well, Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu. Okay, so O believers. So there is nothing wrong in even calling out normal people, not only the prophets or the saints or the special people, but normal people like you and me. Quran mentions Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu, and it, all those people who will believe and has believed till the day of Qiyamah are called Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu, even though they are not present, even though you are not with them, but you keep calling them Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu. So again, when we say Ya to someone, it is exactly according to the Holy Quran. In the Ahadith, so that was the Quran. In the Ahadith, there are so many, plenty of places where Ya has been mentioned for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you know the Hadith, which is called the Hadith-e-Umar, in which Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam inquired, that what is Islam and what is Iman and what is Ihsan. Okay, so he started off by saying that Ya Muhammadu akhbirni anil Islam. So tell me about Islam, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he came not as an angel, he came as a man. Okay, and that is why probably he said Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, because if he said Ya Rasulullah, that means he would he was showing that he believed in Islam and Iman, and then there was no point of him making questions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why he said Ya Muhammad. Okay, so as if a new person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he wants to learn about Islam, he wants to learn about Iman, maybe he does not still have Iman upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how would he ask? That is how it was portrayed there, and that is the reason why nobody else recognized who he was. Even though he was Jibreel alayhi salam in human form, but nobody there recognized who he was. So he came as a complete stranger and he asked these questions. And that is why it is mentioned Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here. One hadith which we should remember, which is narrated in Ibn Majah, and this is that a nabina, a blind person, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked for a dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided him and he showed him to pray a dua. Dua is as follows, or in which it is said Ya Muhammad. The dua contains Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now of course that dua has been narrated for centuries. That dua not only was prayed then, but it has been prayed after that. It is prayed even today, and it will be prayed inshallah till the day of Qiyamah. And whoever prays always has to mention that bit Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that dua. So if saying Ya or calling out with a Ya was wrong, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never have taught such a dua, which would become later on not allowed to use. Okay, and that is the reason why we say that look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself taught this dua to a sahabi, and in it was the word Ya Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In the same way, it is narrated in the books of fiqh like Alamgiri and so on, that when we go to the Rauza-e Anwar of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, it is said, what do we say? We say Assalamu alayka ya nabiyallah, ashhadu annaka rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is one of the salam which you can pray, which is mentioned in this book. Again, what is it said? Assalamu alayka ya nabiyallah. Assalamu alayka ya nabiyallah. So this is the salam, and this is everywhere. I mean, you can see all the books that are present nowadays. They all say when you reach the beloved Rauza of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you say? Ya. You say Ya Rasulullah salatu wassalamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah salatu wassalamu alayka, Ya Habiballah, and so on. Qasida Burda, one of the most acclaimed Qasida, which has been accepted by all the ulmas and the common people of all the times. Qasida Burda, one of the verses in Qasida Burda goes Ya Akramul Khalqi Mali Man Aluzu Bihi. So what does he say? Ya Akram al Khalqi. He refers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or calls the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Ya. Ya Akram al Khalqi. That means, O most dignified in the creation. So he calls out with a title, but also he says Ya. Ya Akram al Khalqi. Ma li man aluzu bihi siwa ka in dahulu lil hadith al amam. And the meaning of the whole verse is that, O most dignified in the creation, who is for us except you? Who is for us except you? to whom we can turn to in times of difficulty. So he himself is showing this aqeedah that in times of difficulty, long after the Prophet ﷺ has passed away, firstly he is calling the Prophet ﷺ as Ya with a Ya, and then he is also saying that it is you who help us in our times of difficulty, and it is you who we turn to in times when we need. So again, both our aqeedahs are established here, firstly saying Ya and secondly turning to the Prophet ﷺ for help. This is what the Sahib-e Burda, the one who, you know, Mawla Yasalli wa Sallam Daiman Abada, you must have heard this Qasida. This is one of the most famous ones. Imam Busairi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he mentions, if it was wrong to say Ya, why did he say it? We all pray this. Why do we pray this verse if it is wrong? Again, Imam Zainul Abidin, after the event of Karbala, he also wrote a Qasida, and which has become quite famous now, after Awais Qadri Sahib has read it, Innil Tiya Riha Saba, you know, Ya Sayyidi Irham Lana, that one. That is written by Imam Zainul Abidin, the son of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And after the event of Karbala, after everything had taken place, what was to take place, he calls out for help to the Prophet ﷺ. He is sort of saying what's in his heart to the Prophet ﷺ. And one of the verses, one of the last verses, he says, Ya Rahmatan Lil Alameen, Adrikni Zainil Abidin. Ya Rahmatan Lil Alameen, Adrikli Zainil Abidin. Again, both our aqeedah are proved here. Firstly, he is calling the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ has passed away long ago, but he is calling. What does he say? Ya Rahmatan Lil Alameen. He's saying, Ya Rahmatan Lil Alameen, please help your Zainul Abidin. Please help your Zainul Abidin. Please come to my help. So again, both of our aqeedah are established here. Again, Maulana Jami in one of his Qasidas has written. And lastly, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Qasida-e-Nauman. His Qasida is called Qasida-e-Nauman. In that he writes, Ya Sayyid al-Sadat Jittu Qasida, Jittuka Qasida. So again, what does he say? Ya. That is what we need to focus on. What does he say? Ya Sayyid al-Sadat, O leader of the leaders. O leader of the leaders. What does Imam Azam say? He says Ya. So again, exactly what we say today, long after the Prophet ﷺ has passed away, we say Ya. Imam Azam, who used to live in Kufa, he didn't live in Medina, he lived in Iraq, and from there he came long after the Prophet ﷺ, but still in his Qasida he writes Ya Sayyid al-Sadat. And lastly, last but not the least, At-Tahiyyat, which we pray. At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi Was-Salawatu Wat-Tayyibatu As-Salamu Alayka Ayyuhan Nabi. So this Ayyuha is the same as Ya. Okay? Ayyuha is the same as Ya. So it is as if, you know, when you say As-Salamu Alayka, Ka is used when you're referring to someone who is present. Okay? Ayyuha means to someone who is not present, but ayyuka is to someone who is present, and that is the tense we use in At-Tahiyyat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. That you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salam upon you, ya nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So if it was wrong, then why do we pray ya in our At-Tahiyyat, without which our namaz is not complete? So this is something without which our namaz will not be counted, because At-Tahiyyat is wajib in namaz, and unless you pray this, your namaz won't be accepted. There are traditions that some of the companions, after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, they changed the At-Tahiyyat. There are some narrations that they changed the At-Tahiyyat to something else. Okay, but there are also narrations that most of the Sahabas stuck or remain with the At-Tahiyyat which they used to pray at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, and that is why Imam Azam and Imam Shafi'i both have chosen this, they have retained this, and this is the At-Tahiyyat which they ask their followers to pray. And that's the reason why we prayed, and again that is one of the greatest proofs that to say Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from wherever you are is completely permissible, and not only for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can say it for whoever you want. So, why? One of the reasons why they say that you cannot say Ya is because they say that you can only say Ya who can listen to you, who for someone who can listen to you from far away, like Allah. They say Allah can listen to you from far away. That is why you can say Ya for Allah and not for anybody else. Now that itself is a very illogical dalil, okay? Is Allah far away? No. Okay, so where does this concept of far away and closer comes? It doesn't come. It doesn't exist. Because if you think Allah is far away, then your aqidah is flawed. Allah is neither far nor near. In fact, he says, just to make us feel his presence is so close to us, he says that نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, that I am close to you than your jugular vein. Okay, so he is so close to us. That is only, not that he is physically close to us, but this is to show that his power is so close to us. Okay, and we are all within his power, within the reach of his power. So that is why it is said that he is so close to us. Okay, but he is neither far nor he is close. Okay, so this aqidah is flawed, that you can only say it for Allah. In fact, you cannot say this for, you can say it for Allah, but not with this intention in mind that he is far away and it's only him who can listen to us. No, he's not far away. He's neither near nor far. All this time and space doesn't exist for him. It's only for the creation. Allah is free and is pure from all these kind of things. It's only for the creation. So, and even for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the Quran says, that An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is closer to you than your own selves. So he is close. Quran says he is close. So if he is close, why can't we say Ya? Okay, if you say that you can only say Ya to someone who is closer to you and not far away somewhere in Medina, we'll say okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Quran says, he is close to us. And in that way again, we can say Ya for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Now this, again, this theory of being far away and being close, for the friends of Allah, all this doesn't count. Look, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, from Medina, he called out to Hazrat Saria. So he is giving a khutbah at the time of Jummah. And in the khutbah, he says, Ya Saria towards the mountain, Ya Saria towards the mountain, Ya Saria towards the mountain. Saria is a commander-in-chief of the Islamic army who is fighting in another country. Who is fighting in a different country. Hazrat Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen then, he is in Medina, and at the time of khutbah, he is watching what's happening there, and he is calling out, and Hazrat Saria listens to him. Okay, and it is because Hazrat Umar guided them from here that they were victorious in that war. And when they returned, the companions asked that the Amirul Mu'mineen, in the middle of khutbah, he was calling out your name, what was the matter? And he explained that we were to be attacked from behind, but Hazrat Umar directed us to look towards the mountains, and so we were saved, and it is because of his guidance that we were victorious. So this is in hadith. Now who is doing this? Hazrat Umar. Okay? And even on the other side, it wasn't a Ashray Mubashra or a great Sahabi there. He could be a Sahabi, Hazrat Saria. Even he could listen to Hazrat Umar. And Hazrat Umar could see, and Hazrat Umar could also make his voice reach a different country from Medina. So this is no big deal. This is no big deal. They say all these powers only lies with Allah. We say that all these powers, of course, everything lies with Allah, but with His consent, with His ata, with His will, He can give it to whoever He wants. And history has proved. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba, he made an announcement. He was told to make an announcement. And he said, Ya Allah, how will everyone listen to me? Allah said, your work is to announce, and my job is to make it reach the creation. So he announced, and he called people towards the house of Allah, and everyone who was present at the time, whoever had in their destiny to do Hajj, they said, Labbaik. All those who were yet to come, who were in the wombs of their mothers, they all said, Labbaik. Whoever could go to Hajj, and even the souls, wherever they were, they had not come into the form of a human, they too heard the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they all said Labbaik. And the number of times they said Labbaik, that is the number of times, inshallah, they will go for Hajj. Inshallah. So again, Ibrahim alayhi salam makes a call, but it is Allah who can send the voice to wherever He wants. And that is exactly what we believe. Again, the waqi of Sulaiman alayhi salam, which is mentioned in the Quran, that the ants were speaking and Sulaiman alayhi salam heard them from 3 miles away. Ants. Now this is clearly mentioned in the Quran. Ants are speaking and Sulaiman alayhi salam can hear them 3 miles away. So this is a mu'jiza of Sulaiman alayhi salam. But look at the ants, that the lashkar or the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam is still 3 miles away, but even the ants know that they are coming. And that is why the ants are discussing that we should now go back into our holes, because the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam is coming. So even the ants know that Sulaiman alayhi salam's army is approaching us. So there is no big deal if we believe that with the ata of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people can have the knowledge of what is to happen, people can see what is happening, they can hear from far away. All this is with the consent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course it has been proved in history, and it has been proved by the Quran and the Sunnah. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asked the Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you were still in your cradle, what was happening between you and the moon? What was happening between you and the moon when the Prophet ﷺ is still a baby, still in the cradle? So he said that, my beloved mother, so that I wouldn't fall off, she tied me, and she tied me a bit tight, and because of that I was a bit uneasy. And so, I wanted to cry, but the moon did not let me cry. The moon was amusing me. The moon was playing with me, and that is why I did not cry. Because I wanted to cry, and the moon was amusing me. Now, you can imagine Hazrat Abbas, what he asked, that you were still a baby then, not even 40 days old. So how do you know what was happening to you then? I mean, you ask a baby that, tell me what happened when you were 40 days old. The baby doesn't know anything. It doesn't have that kind of brains, that kind of memory to remember anything. But when inquired, the Prophet ﷺ knew what was happening to him and what was he doing at the age of 40 days. He was only 40 days old, still in the cradle, and he knew what he was doing, that he was playing with the moon. So he inquired that, Ya Rasulullah, you were 40 days and you still remember? So he replies that even when the qalam, when the pen writes on the lawh-e mahfuz, I could even hear that when the qalam used to write on the lawh-e mahfuz, even though I was still in the womb of my mother. So this is when I was in this world, but even when I was in the womb, if the pen was writing something on the law, I could listen to it. And the angels beneath the arsh used to do the tasbih of Allah. From the womb of my mother, I could hear the tasbih of those angels. I could hear the tasbih of those angels. And there are plenty of ahadith which can prove our point. But this is when he wasn't even born, or when he was only 40 days old. So now, when he came to this world and we all became his ummatis, so how can he not listen to us? Okay? So helping us is a different matter, but here we only talk about listening to us. So when we say Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from here, of course he can listen to us. And there is nothing wrong in saying so. It doesn't say anywhere that this is only limited to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And all those who say, they're just trying to misguide us, they're just trying to deviate us, and they are just trying to divide us. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala save us from them, and may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make us steadfast on our beliefs. Any questions on this? So alhamdulillah, it's been made clear. Just reading through this, and I just found some sayings, some very nice sayings. We'll just look at a few. Huzur Sayyidina Ghawsul Azam Dastagir radiallahu ta'ala, some of his sayings from this Barakat Sharia. If we have no sins but only the love of the dunya, then we are still deserving of hell. Still deserving of hell. He says, worldly people run after the dunya, and the dunya runs after the people of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then he clarifies that having a home to live in, a nice home, nice clothes to wear, nice food to eat, having a wife does not mean that you are worldly. If you have all these things, does not mean that you are worldly. Okay? And a person who is poor does not mean that he is a saint. Okay? But he says worldly means focusing on the world and turning your back on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, or the deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So if you have all these worldly things, does not make you a worldly person. It depends where your heart is. Your heart should not be in the world. Okay? If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You don't get distressed by the dunya, because you're focusing on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You're focusing on the life after death. A believer leaves his family in the care of Allah, and a hypocrite depends on wealth and treasures. You know, all these life insurance policies and this and that. When a person becomes rich, that is what he thinks of. I need to have this policy and I need to have that policy so that people or my family is going to depend on it later on. But not that you shouldn't save for your family. You shouldn't trust in that. You don't know what's going to happen. Your children might blow it away in one day, or your wife might take it and go and marry somebody else. So what's the point of you doing all this for somebody who you don't know, who's going to be loyal after you? But if you leave it in the care of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then He will take care of you. Hide your difficulties. Hide your difficulties, and you will be blessed with the closeness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Here the first thing we do is complain. But if you would only hide your difficulties from the world and only complain to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if somebody asks you, how are you? All you should say is, Alhamdulillah. Don't, you know, start a list of things that this is wrong with me. Even before he asks you what's wrong. No. But because it's from Allah, you say it to Allah. Allah, if you complain to Allah, He loves it. Not complain. If you make dua to Allah, if you be humble to Allah and you say, Ya Allah, this is wrong, give me this. He loves it. But if you ask a worldly person, if you ask the dunya, if I ask you that I need this, you won't like me. But it's the reverse with Allah. If you ask Him, the more you ask Him, the more He loves you. Because you're asking Him, thinking that nothing is in your power, all the power lies with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Alhamdulillah. But don't complain to the world. Don't say this is wrong, that is wrong. Then you're being ungrateful to Allah. Allah says, you are not happy with what I have given you. So always say, Alhamdulillah. And you can complain whatever you want to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Remaining silent when on your own is not bravery. try and remain silent in a gathering. Try and remain silent in a gathering. The best deed is to give to people, not to take from them. So the hand which is the upper hand is always better than the hand which is below. The upper hand is always the one who is giving. And the hand which is below is always the one which is taking. And that is why the adab, if you give something to somebody elder to you, like an alim sahab or somebody, then you give it in this way. So that even though he is taking, his hand which is taking is still above our hand. Just an adab. Otherwise, if you give it like this, then his hand will be below. And here it says that the hand which is below is the hand which is taking. And that's not the good hand. A good hand is the one which gives. Okay, so if you give to an elderly person, if you give it to somebody who is higher than you, then you give it in this way, so that even though he is taking, his hand is still above your hand. Very unfortunate is the person who does not have mercy for animals. Never mind the humans, neighbors, parents, all that is high above, even animals. If you don't have mercy in your heart for animals, then you're very unfortunate. Your worst enemies are? What? Evil companions. Evil companions are your worst enemies. If you don't go to hell, they'll push you into hell. So that's a bad company. That's what they do to you. When you receive no satisfaction from your good deeds, understand that you have not done that deed. Satisfaction from your deeds. One who becomes friendly with Allah shows hospitality to the creation of Allah. So be nice to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you are boastful and cannot control your temper, do not count yourself amongst these scholars. Scholars means the ulama-e rabbani. An intelligent person first consults with his heart and then opens his mouth. It's the reverse with us, isn't it? Our mouth is open, and then if we have time, we consult with our hearts, otherwise we just say it. One who is not troubled with any afflictions, one who is not troubled, does not have any problems, has no good qualities. Troubles is the means of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person does not become ill for a year, the scholars say that don't think that you're too good. Think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with you. Okay, so you should in 1 year's time face some kind of troubles, which we always do. And then some kind of illness or trouble or something should occur to you. Otherwise, there are people where nothing happens to them, and they are the ones who are doing wrong. But because they are so engaged in all that, Allah has just left them. I have nothing to do with you. I'll see you when you come to me. And then that punishment is going to be very, very hard. You are busy in trying to satisfy the desires of the soul, and the soul is busy trying to ruin you. The person who wants to control his soul should control it with respect and silence. Distrust and suspicion blocks the road to all success. We always try to be suspicious about things, about other people. He must have done this, he must have done that. He must have said this, he must have said that. Distrust and suspicion blocks the road to all success. And the last one. In the eyes of the friends of Allah, the creation of Allah are like children. So treat them as your own children. Any questions? Not about this. There's nothing to ask. Any general questions? Hussain, 20 minutes after sunrise. After sunrise. Yeah, you can pray till sunrise. So suppose the sunrise is at 7. So you can pray till 6:59. Yeah. Or 7. No. You can't pray 20 minutes after sunrise. That's the makruh time. With maghrib. That means if you shouldn't pray any namaz 20 minutes before sunset. That's makruh time, okay?
For Asr.
For Asr. But if you have not prayed Asr for that day, then you can pray in those 20 minutes. But apart from that, no other namaz is allowed in those 20 minutes. So 20 minutes before sunset and 20 minutes after sunrise. No, you have to pray. That day's Asr, you have to pray. It's only any other namaz. If you haven't prayed Asr, then even if 1 minute is left, you still start your namaz. Sometimes, suppose it's at 7 o'clock, Asr, Maghrib, okay? 6:59, you start your namaz. And when you start after 1 minute, the azan starts. But still your namaz will be counted. Of course, if there was no reason for this, then you will be sinful because you shouldn't delay your namaz till this late. But if there was a problem and, you know, if you're traveling or something and you just got that 1 minute, still start your namaz. Even though the rest of the namaz goes well into Maghrib time, still it is counted. But with Fajr, the rule is that suppose you start your Fajr, suppose the sun rises at 7 in the morning and you started off about 20 seconds before 7, okay? So a part of your namaz was within the Fajr time and a part was not. That namaz you will have to repeat. That namaz you will have to repeat. Why? Because you have gone into a time where praying any namaz was not permissible. So that namaz will need to be repeated. Whereas for Asr, even if it goes into Maghrib time, you are coming out of makruh time. You're not going into makruh time. So that Asr will be counted. You won't have to repeat it. But for Fajr, you will have to. Yes. When you're suffering, when you are in suffer, yes, suffer is suffering anyway. The Prophet said that suffer is a part of azab, is a small part of azab. Because no matter what 5-star class or what first class you fly, wherever, you still can't take your whole family with you or all your belongings with you. So suffer is always suffer. But yeah, if you're traveling, for Fajr it's 2, Zohar it's 2, Maghrib is 3, Asr it's 2, and Isha it's 2, and then 3. So basically all we do is all the 4, we decrease it to 2. That's it. That's all you do. All the 4, you decrease it to 2. Whilst in traveling, if suppose you're traveling and you don't have time, you can miss your sunnats. But if you have reached, like you can be a musafir for 15 days. So if suppose you're going to Pakistan and you're staying there for 14 days, yeah? And of course you'll get time to pray your sunnats, so then pray your sunnats as well. But the fards will be. Now again, those people who say that you know, you can just follow the hadith and you don't need the imams. There are hadiths in Bukhari Sharif where there are some companions who used to pray full namaz even in Safar, even whilst traveling. They didn't pray Qasr. It's been narrated. It's not. It's not allowed. It's not allowed. Those companions, either they did not come to know, or even if they came to know, they still probably had heard something which they remembered from the Prophet ﷺ, and they took that on and not what the others said. But the rules are based on consensus. That is where the fiqh comes in. That is where the imams come in. That they don't just take one hadith from one book and make their rules according to that. No. They look at all the hadiths. So if there are 20 hadiths saying one thing and one hadith saying one thing, then they would choose the 20. If there are just one thing which only one sahabi said for this and one sahabi said for that, then they will look at the companion. Who is the companion? Okay? If somebody of a higher category is narrating, then they would accept that and not take the other one. But if for an ignorant person, if he just looks at the book of Hadith and he says, oh, I'm going to act upon Muslim Sharif now, or Bukhari Sharif now, then he won't be able to do anything. Because we have to turn, for these reasons, to the scholars, to the Imams who made the laws based on the vast knowledge of Hadith which they had. So we can't just pick one Hadith and say, okay, this is it, and we'll act upon this. I mean, this is one of the prime examples. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala was one of them who used to pray full namaz. But that was her. You can't argue. And on the other hand, there are plenty. The ijma of the Sahabas. That means they had a consensus on this. Even the companions, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said qasr, and we had to decrease our namaz. Qasr only in farz. Only in first. The sunnah remains the same. Yes. Yeah. If you pray behind the imam, then the namaz of the imam counts for you. So if he's praying four, then fair enough. You pray four. Okay? You pray four. In these circumstances, if you miss any namaz, if suppose you're traveling and unfortunately you miss any namaz, then when you come back, you still pray qasr. You do the qaza of qasr. Not, you don't pray full namaz. You do the qaza of what you have missed before.
For example, if I'm traveling,
you pray qasr. Whilst traveling, it's only when you leave your town. As soon as you leave your town, okay, the qasr starts from there. Oh, you're in Manchester. Sorry, I was thinking from Bolton. if you are in Manchester, then you have to leave Manchester. But if Manchester Airport is a part of Manchester, then yeah, might as well pray for. Because this is the ruling, you have to leave the town or the surroundings. You have to leave the vicinity and then go out. Yeah, but still, it's. Nah. Yeah.
You are traveling from London or somewhere, and you arrive near Manchester.
No, Greater Manchester is an area. Bolton is a separate town, Manchester is a separate town. They term it as Greater Manchester as an area. Okay, that this is like Northwest, you can say the whole of Northwest. So no. If you are leaving to travel, okay, suppose you are going, it is 57 and some miles, or 94 or something kilometers, okay? So if you intend to go that far for less than 15 days, then you're a traveler. Okay? So you have that intention that I'm going here for less than 15 days and the distance is beyond the distance which makes you a musafir. Then you are a traveler. But from when do you start praying qasr? So the ruling is from the time that you leave your town. Okay? So suppose I'm living in Bolton. Till I leave Bolton, if I'm still in Bolton somewhere, like I come out of the house and go to the masjid, okay, I still pray full. But once I'm out of Bolton, on the motorway, then the qasr starts from that point. Till again, back to the same point. Okay, till you enter Bolton. If Bolton is 1 mile away, and I want to pray my last namaz before I enter, you can still pray qasr. But once you enter Bolton, then you have to pray full. The traveling time when you're traveling.
Yeah.
You're going for more than 15 minutes. Good question. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it basically you're not. But I think I heard or read it somewhere, I can't remember. that even then, whilst you're traveling, yeah, you know, suppose you're going to Pakistan for a month, but whilst you're traveling, on the way, I'll have to check, I'm not too sure. I'll have to check. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين صلى الله تعالى عليه وبارك وسلم مصطفى جان رحمت پیلا ہو سلام شمع بزم ہدایت پیلا ہو سلام کاش محشر میں جب ان کی آمد ہو اور بھیجے سب ان کی شوکت پیلا ہو سلام مجھ سے خدمات کی قدسی کہے ہاں رضا مجھ سے خدمات کی قدسی کہے ہاں رضا مصطفیٰ جان رحمت پہ لاکھوں سلام شمع بزم ہدایت پہ لاکھوں سلام صلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ صلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ وعلى آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.